In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's an odd thing this day, because we celebrate and we grieve at the same time. We celebrate the accomplishments of our young people, the seniors who have served as acolytes for several years, as they graduate from high school and graduate from serving as acolytes. Each one of them is beloved by their family and by us. We can all tell stories about Sarah's sweetness and kind ways, Melissa's quiet intelligence and wicked, dry sense of humor, Megan's incredible focus as a horsewoman, Stark's fearlessness, which has sometimes landed him in the ER, and his juggling abilities. Perhaps in coffee hour we can make him juggle for us. And Garrett's musical talents and his scouting accomplishments, which we were the beneficiaries of as he led the building of the playground. Each of them has unique gifts and abilities, and we've been blessed by their presence among us. But we're a little bit sad, too, because one of the inevitable parts of their growing up means that our relationships with them are changing. They're going off to college now. Some are attending schools nearby, some further afield. But they're all moving to a different place in their personal journeys, and we will not see them as often as we have in the past. That's the hard part. Even as we wish them well. But as they go from us, they carry something of their time with us, with them, and they leave something with us. And that something is encapsulated in the last phrase we heard from that letter to the Galatians this morning. They glorified God because of me. They glorified God because of me. Now, before I explain how this applies to our five senior acolytes, let's think a little bit about this letter and who the Galatians were and what Paul was trying to do in this letter. Galatia was an interesting place. It was a Roman province in Central Asia, and it had been settled by a group of Celts from Gaul, what we would call modern-day France, in 270 BC. This group of foreigners, strangers in a strange land, even in Paul's day, almost 300 years later, still retained some of the cultural and linguistic practices of those Gaulish roots. The French, wherever they are, they will still be French, will they not? So they were strangers in a strange land, even almost 300 years after they had emigrated from what we might now know as Brittany, the western region of France. Paul had visited Galatia. He was an itinerant missionary. He went from place to place. He started a church there. He converted a number of these Galatians from their pagan religions. This was standard operating procedure for Paul. He was an itinerant evangelist, going from place to place as the Spirit led him or as the winds would blow his boat. And he would convert people, especially non-Jews, what were called Gentiles in those days, from their old religions, pagan religions, local religions, to the way of Christ. Then once the church was started up and running reasonably smoothly, as much as churches ever run reasonably smoothly, he left and went to the next place. That was the norm for Paul. It was also the norm that his churches would send him letters every now and again. Sometimes they had questions, sometimes they had disputes needing settling. Sounds like what we talked about at Adult Forum today. Sometimes they were simply reporting on what's happening, but there was this pattern of letters going back and forth. We unfortunately don't have any of those letters that people sent to Paul, but we do have copies of the letters that Paul sent back in response. He was a good pastor. He responded to the needs of his people. We have some copies of those original letters, and the one that we're talking about today, the letter to the Galatians, the earliest known copy we have is a piece of papyrus that dates back to 200, about 150 years after the original one had been written. So what was going on in this letter? We can surmise from what Paul says that there was a problem that made the Galatians nervous and they wanted to check in with Paul. There were some new teachers who came to Galatia after Paul had founded the church and left. And these new teachers were teaching a different approach to how to be part of the way of Christ. They said that all converts had to conform to all the rules of Jewish law. In other words, they had to become good Jews first before they could become Christians. Now, those of us who did the book group last year read a book called My Year of Living Biblically, where one gentleman tried to follow the best he could all of the laws in the Torah. I think it was something like 678 laws. It would have been a hard sell to most Gentiles, especially the circumcision part. But this is what these folks were teaching. And those whom Paul had taught wrote to him and told him about this, and this letter to the Galatians was intended to set them straight. The new teachers were wrong, Paul said. Paul said, I've received Jesus' words in a revelation. And there's nothing in there about you have to be a Jew first before you be a Christian. Gentiles can become Christians too. It's okay. So he's writing this letter to get them back on track, to take them away from their confusion that these new teachers have brought in. And he set the record straight in a very unusual way. He started out by talking about his credentials as a good Jew, which he was. Before he was converted, he was a Pharisee, which means that he was very, very intent on following Mosaic law and seeing it carried out in the best possible way. He was such a devout Jew that he was a zealot in going after Christians and persecuting them. And he continued that way until Christ knocked him off that horse, got his attention, and said, this is the new way I want you to follow me. So Paul's argument was that if he, even this very observant Jew, believed it was not necessary to adhere to Jewish law to follow Christ, then it makes sense that you don't have to. And if he followed this belief because of Jesus' own revelation to him, then these new teachers' arguments were wrong. And if, as most biblical scholars believe, this letter was written after Paul had had a great big argument with Peter about this very same question at the Council of Jerusalem and had gotten Peter's concurrence that Gentiles did not need to become Jews before becoming Christians, Paul was arguing from a position of great strength, and these new folks were very wrong. So Paul establishes his credentials. He makes his argument. He notes something very interesting after he talks about what a good Jew he is. He says, you know, when I went back to Jerusalem and was staying with Cephas, meaning Peter, and we had this whole discussion, I didn't meet with any of the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem, but they had heard about me and what good work I was doing among the Gentiles, and they said something very interesting. They said, God was glorified because of what Paul was doing. So everybody's on board here. These new teachers, not right at all. So what does this have to do with these graduating senior acolytes. Hang in there with me, I'll get you there. The fact is that our acolytes are an integral part of our worship each Sunday. Their focus and precision, which you saw already and will continue to see throughout the service, their ability to contribute to the beauty and the grace of each thing we do during worship are well known. Folks who are new to the parish are fascinated by their intensity and their faithful service. All of that is to say that God is glorified because of their work as acolytes. And we glorify God because of the mood that they set in our worship. Before each service, the acolytes and the choir and Harrison and Judy and I all stand together and say a prayer that we can shine a light on God by our work at the altar. And it's clear that this prayer works. These young people do shine a light. They are a light to the nations when they serve as acolytes. But it's not just as acolytes that they and we glorify God. Some of them have participated in our youth mission trips, and I've seen them work incredibly hard at helping others. And I've also seen them treating the folks whom we help with great respect and dignity. They see the grace and humanity of Christ in those whom we help, and those whom we help see the love and care of Christ in those teens. I've seen them work training younger acolytes or helping out with the littler kids. Little kids all think that they're the cool older kids, right? And they could be just sort of dismissive, but they're not. They're always kind and generous. And when they teach acolyte procedures to newer participants, they do it with care and good humor and, yes, respect. God is with them in that work. And God is glorified by their work. When Garrett and his team of adults and scouts were building the playground set, and that was the project where everything that could go wrong did, and yet it's up and it's beautiful. To see his patience and his focus in the midst of the 8,000 other things he had to do as a senior student, it was a thing to behold. And it was not just because Mom and Dad were sort of nudging him along. This was him. God was glorified by him because of his work. Although I haven't seen them in school, I would imagine that they live their faith in their kindness to other classmates and their willingness to lend a helping hand in their use of their God-given intelligence in their classwork. God is glorified in their work. In a few months, they will be starting in a new school, a college, or a university. They may have part-time jobs as well. They'll be among different people and doing different things, engaging in different tasks. But one thing remains true. We pray that in all that they do, they can say, God was glorified because of me. And I suspect that that will happen, mostly because the work that you all did, parents and parish family members and friends, taught them to believe that God could be glorified through them and through their work. And it shows. God was glorified because of you and the work that you did in helping to shape them. These young people know about glorifying God. They already know how to make that happen. They merely need to continue being the wonderful young adults that they already are. They merely need to continue centering their lives and their work on what God has made for them. And we pray that this time next year, or 5 years from now, or a decade from now, or a lifetime from now, they will be able to say what we know they can say today. God was glorified because of me. Amen.